Why do we forget most of what we study, even after hours of focused work? The answer reveals a fundamental flaw in how we approach learning. Rereading textbooks, highlighting passages, cramming before exams, these strategies feel productive but are remarkably ineffective. Research shows over 80% of college students rely on rereading, despite evidence from the 1960s proving it yields minimal benefits. The real problem? Rereading creates an illusion of mastery. Material becomes familiar, and we mistake that comfort for understanding. But when a neurosurgeon faces a life-threatening emergency, a gunshot wound to the head, brain matter exposed, a bullet lodged in a major vein, familiarity won't save the patient. Only deeply internalized knowledge, accessible in an instant, will. This gap between what feels like learning and what actually sticks represents one of education's greatest challenges. Think of your brain as a muscle that grows stronger through struggle, not rest. The testing effect demonstrates that actively recalling information strengthens memory far better than passively reviewing it. When you force your brain to retrieve knowledge, especially when it requires effort, you're not just checking what you know, you're fundamentally changing how that information is stored. In one dramatic classroom experiment, 8th graders scored 92% on material they'd been quizzed on regularly versus 79% on content they'd merely reviewed. That's the difference between an A and a C, achieved through one simple change, turning passive review into active retrieval. The benefits persisted 8 months later, proving this wasn't just short-term memorization. Here's the counterintuitive part. The harder you have to work to recall something, the stronger it becomes. That frustrating tip of the tongue feeling? That's your brain building more durable neural pathways. Repeated retrieval doesn't just make memories last longer, it makes knowledge more flexible, more accessible across different contexts, and more applicable to varied problems. Two groups of 8-year-olds toss beanbags at a basket 3 feet away. One practices only at that distance. The other practices at 2 and 4 feet, never at the target. Surprisingly, the group that never practiced at the actual distance wins. This reveals a counterintuitive truth. Strategies that feel most effective often aren't. When surgical residents learned microsurgery through 4 lessons spaced a week apart rather than in a single day, they dramatically outperformed their peers a month later. Most tellingly, 16% of the crammed practice group damaged blood vessels beyond repair during testing. Interleaving, mixing different problem types, produces similar results. College students learning geometric volumes practiced either in clusters, all spheres, then all cones, or mixed together. During practice, the clustered group averaged 89% correct versus 60% for the mixed group. A week later, the mixed practice group scored 63%, while the clustered group plummeted to 20%. That's a 215% advantage for making practice feel harder. When Marine Lieutenant Mia Blundetto confronted her fear of jumping from planes, she discovered that certain difficulties actually strengthen learning. Learning happens through 3 stages: encoding, converting experiences into brain changes, consolidation, organizing and connecting new information, and retrieval, accessing stored knowledge. Here's the counterintuitive truth. The harder retrieval becomes, the better knowledge sticks. The Cal Poly baseball team proved this when players practicing randomly mixed pitches struggled initially but outperformed those practicing one pitch type at a time after 6 weeks. Effortful recall forces you to reconstruct knowledge from long-term memory rather than mindlessly repeating from short-term memory. During reconstruction, learning becomes flexible again. Its meaning deepens, connections strengthen, and retrieval routes multiply. With enough practice, complex skills become automatic mental models, like driving a car. We constantly judge what we know and don't know, but we're remarkably bad at it. Memory isn't a perfect recording. It's a reconstruction shaped by meaning, emotion, and narrative. We impose order where none exists, fill gaps with plausible details, and remember things that never happened. Most troublingly, confidence in memory bears little relationship to accuracy. Even our most vivid memories of major events can be significantly wrong despite our absolute certainty. The Dunning-Kruger effect reveals why incompetent people overestimate their abilities. They lack the skills to recognize their own incompetence. In studies, students scoring in the lowest percentiles vastly overestimated their performance. Even when shown peers' superior answers, poor performers failed to adjust their self-assessments. The solution? Stop trusting your feelings about learning. Frequent, low-stakes quizzing reveals what you truly know versus what you think you know. Seeking corrective feedback from others is crucial. The path to self-insight leads through other people. Practice must mirror real-world conditions because you will perform like you practice. The famous marshmallow experiment showed preschoolers who delayed gratification achieved greater success decades later. But what matters more? The brain remains remarkably plastic throughout life. Memory athletes like Nelson Delis developed extraordinary abilities through practice, not genetics, training after watching his grandmother's Alzheimer's progression. The Flynn effect shows average IQs rising 18 points over 60 years in the United States, proof intelligence isn't fixed. Carol Dweck's research reveals one belief dramatically impacts learning, understanding that intellectual ability isn't fixed, but largely within your control. Students taught that effortful learning physically changes the brain by forming new connections became more aggressive learners and higher achievers than peers who believed intelligence was fixed. Expert performance doesn't arise from genetic advantages, but from what Anders Ericsson calls deliberate practice, goal-directed work that repeatedly pushes beyond current performance levels. Achieving expertise typically requires 10,000 hours or 10 years, putting it within reach of normally gifted people with sufficient motivation. Three keystone strategies form the foundation of effective learning. First, practice retrieving new learning from memory. Replace rereading with self-quizzing. When reviewing material, pause regularly to recall key ideas without looking at the text. Second, space out your retrieval practice. Study material multiple times with significant intervals between sessions. Allowing some forgetting between sessions forces you to reconstruct learning from long-term memory, strengthening retention. Third, interleave different problem types. Mix up your practice rather than studying one type at a time, building your ability to recognize problems and select appropriate solutions. Michael Young transformed from the bottom of his 200-person medical school class to a high performer by testing himself before reviewing, finding optimal spacing intervals, and slowing down to find meaning. These strategies work everywhere because they align with how your brain actually learns. The truth about learning is both humbling and empowering. There are no shortcuts, but there is a better way. Stop rereading, highlighting, and cramming. Start testing yourself, spacing your practice, and embracing difficulty as a sign you're building something that lasts. Your brain isn't a vessel to fill, but a muscle to strengthen. Every time you struggle to recall, mix up your practice, or space out your learning, you're not just memorizing, you're transforming. Real learning isn't about cramming before the test. It's about what remains, what you can access, what you can apply when it matters most. Make it stick.